let me invite Sharon now to come and read from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16.
I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. Meet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings.
Thanks, Sharon. When I asked Sharon to read this passage, I wanted to make sure that she was okay reading it, because I would have tripped over a number of those names. They aren't names that I typically use. And most of those names I've really never said before I was looking at this passage this morning. Now, whether you know it or not, this is our Ministry Appreciation Sunday. And our intention this morning is to give glory to God. So our vertical relationship to God, we want to thank God for each other. And we also want to thank each other for each other. And as we do that, we give thanks to God. And my plan this morning is pretty simple. I want to look at these verses with you, these unusual verses with you, and then I'm hoping that out of these verses, I might encourage you to spend some time, maybe today or maybe later on this week, thinking about specific thanks, acknowledgement, recognition you might be able to extend to someone or someone's in our church community for their ministry over this past year. Now, there are different ways that I could thank people this morning, or we could thank people. I could just say, thank you. Thank you, everyone who served at Nelson Avenue. Or, as we're going to do in a few moments, I could be a bit more specific and say, well, if you've served in any of our ministries, I'm going to list them in a few moments. If you've served anywhere in the church community, I'm going to ask you to stand up. So I'm going to list some ministries for us this morning, and after I'm done, I'm going to ask those who have served there in those ministries to stand up. So let me list these ministries. If you've been involved in the worship ministry, computer tech, sound check, choir, men's chorus, worship leader, those in visual arts, those who have beautified our sanctuary for different services and seasons, drama, dance, those who get communion ready, clean up from communion, vocalists, instrumentalists, Bible readers, those who lead us in prayer, drama, special music, translators, and those who set up the Bibles for us every Sunday morning. If you've been involved in our fellowship team, organizing or helping at our various fellowship events, if you've been on our facilities team or you've been helping with the upkeep of the grounds around the church, if you've been involved in any of our fundraisers, including our various bake sales, if you've been on our admin team, maintenance team, safe church team, the meals ministry, whether coordinating or making meals for others. If you've been involved in our Oasis events last fall, organizing, helping, and leading. If you've taught a class this past year at Nelson Avenue, if you've been on our MAC team, our Big Mac team, our Mission Actions team, for those of us who update our website and Facebook page, for those of us involved in welcoming others, the welcome table, ushers and greeters, our midweek ministry on Wednesday mornings, helping, teaching, refreshments, tea time ministry Monday mornings, our children's church, teachers, helpers, leaders, floats, drama, and music, small group leaders, elders, deacons, last August, this August again, our kids club or our VBS, our youth ministry, whether junior youth or senior youth, our young adults that are beginning again to meet, thank you so much, leading, organizing, coordinating our young adults ministry, our church camp, whether fundraisers or helping to organize a kids church camp or aspects of the weekend, our Mexico mission team and the monthly soup, bun, and noodles luncheons, our library, our nursery, if you've taken care of children in our nursery anytime this last year, coffee fellowship, coordinating, but also helping prepare and serve coffee, tea, and juice in the past year, our seniors group, our prayer ministry, Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, prayer chain, and then also I was thinking unofficial ministries that some of you I know, you send cards, nobody asks you to do that, but you just do that. You visit people, nobody asks you, but you just go and do that. You extend hospitality. You are praying regularly for the church community. And I'm hoping I didn't forget anybody. I know I probably did. That's my worry this morning. So if I didn't mention your ministry, and you know who you are, and you're saying, Pastor Yo, how could you forget me? Please accept my apologies and just say He wanted to. His brain did not take it in, but just count yourself as someone who has done ministry here. If you've been involved in one or more of those ministries, I want to ask you to stand up at this time. Now, I sort of anticipated this, and I want to give you a word of thanks. A word of thanks for all of your efforts, your work, your ministry. You represent not simply many hours of effort and labor, but you represent God's provision. God provides for His church through His servants. For the ministry He calls us to do, He gives us people to do it. So thank you so much for ministering in the name of Jesus, but also for the sake of Jesus. Let's have a seat again. Now this morning we're focused on in-house appreciation, and before I say more about that, I do want to acknowledge that for, I think, almost all of us, most of our ministry is not within the church community. Most of the ministry we do is outside the church community. As we engage with family, friends, neighbors, volunteering in various places, areas of work or calling or vocation, those too are all ministry in the name of Christ. So I don't want us to think it's only ministry here at Nelson Avenue, but because we're gathered this morning and we're trying to appreciate, acknowledge, recognize each other, I listed especially those ministries that are going on here. And I love these kind of moments. I love these moments because they humble me. As I go through a list, even this morning, I'm realizing, you know, the church is not really about one person or a small group of people. This church, as is true of so many churches, it is the body of Jesus Christ doing the work. And I hope we sometimes get a sense of that, all of us together doing what God has called us to do. So we can say, you know, as I tried to say at the beginning, I can just say thanks. Or I can have you stand and say thanks, but there is such power, I think, in saying thank you. And Phyllis told me a story this past week about one of her experiences recently at Costco. Maybe some of you have been to Costco, and you know that as you do your shopping, there are these little sample stations that I love. I always wonder, how can they do that? Because there's not just one or two, there are multiple stations around Costco, and all these people, oh, thanks a lot, you know, eating, whatever it might be, but typically good stuff. And Phyllis said recently when she was on her excursion through Costco and picked up something from the sample station, and she said, thank you. The person, startled, looked up from what they were doing and said, you're the only person who has said thank you to me all day. Now, when I heard that, part of me was like, wow, I can't believe that. Is this person being honest? But I'm going to assume that they're telling me the truth, telling Phyllis the truth. And I'm thinking, isn't that sort of, in some ways, awful that nobody else said, but also awesome, the power of even one person saying thank you. The power of recognition or acknowledgement or thanks. When we do it genuinely and authentically, it is certainly good for us to do. It is right for us to do. It's one of the ways that we worship God. I can't envision worshiping God without some feeling or experience of thankfulness. Thankfulness bonds us to others, and thankfulness is meant to be a joy releaser, that the person saying thanks and the person receiving thanks, both parties are meant to experience joy in the exchange of saying and receiving thanks. Now this morning we've read, I'm going to say this one more time, a very unusual passage. If you were counting along this morning as Sharon was reading, in this passage, Paul, the writer of this letter to the church in Rome, mentions 27 people, 27 different names in this list of greetings. And I know that for many of us, this list, it looks random. It looks kind of boring. Like, what's it doing there? Where's the action? Where's the adventure? Like, let's get to a good story. Why these names? What's going on here? And I want to just mention three things quickly about this list of names. Maybe we know, and maybe we have to be reminded, maybe we don't know. I first want to say, and you might say, well, duh, but I like to emphasize this. These are real people. They're real names. It's a real church community. And again, I know I just need these reminders, but I was listening to a lecture recently by Professor Peter Williams from Tyndale House in Cambridge, England, who made a case. Now, it just seems so obvious maybe sometimes to us, some of us, but I needed to hear it. He said that when you read the four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read those names, those are real names from the first century. That should tell us that the person writing those stories knew the first century, knew the culture of the first century, and knew the names of the first century. Names like Simon, Judas, Mary, James, and Salome, and others are first century Palestinian names. Now, those are not the names we read about in this chapter, which of course should also be obvious to us. If this was the church in Jerusalem, we would expect first century Palestinian names, Jewish names. But that's not this church. This is the church in the capital of the empire. So we have lots of Roman and Greek names. Like Phoebe, a name from Greek mythology. Urbanus, Aristobulus, Hermes, and we could go on, but they sound to me, no expert about this, but they sound to me like non-Jewish, but also kind of Greek sounding. Olympus, or Narcissus, which some people think Narcissus was maybe, this slave who was freed and served under the Roman Emperor Claudius right around the time this letter was being written. Or the name Rufus, an ancient Roman Latin name, possibly the son of Simon of Cyrene. We read about in Mark chapter 15. He was the one who carried the cross of Jesus up to Skull Hill. Simon is known in the Bible as the father of Alexander and Rufus, but maybe it's the same one. We also have, of course, maybe the most popular women's name, Jewish name, Mary, verse 6, not the mother of Jesus, but a popular Jewish name. A Jewish person either born in Rome or born in Jerusalem, Israel, moved to Rome. And then we have, as I think we have also at Nelson Avenue, a number of us, we're born in a culture, in this case a Jewish culture. There's a Jewish couple here in verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, fellow Jews who've been in prison with me, Jewish people who have a Roman or Greek name. Like some of us, we come from a certain culture, but we've taken on a name in this culture. So I just want to say again, maybe it's so obvious, but real people, real congregation. And then what I notice Paul doing is specific people have done specific things. So he mentions things these people have done. There's Phoebe again, who was a person probably of wealth and means. She was a benefactor to many people, including me. There's Priscilla and Aquila, who've risked their lives for me, maybe during the riot in Ephesus in the book of Acts chapter 19. Again, right around the same time as the writing of the book of Romans. And then I'm struck by a refrain in this list of women. And the refrain is, they have worked hard. Mary, who's worked very hard for you, verse 6. Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. And then Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. And as I read that, I know that there are men and women who work hard in the church, but I'm very aware of the women at Nelson Avenue who work hard among us. And I think Paul noticed that in his church, and I noticed that, and we noticed that here at Nelson Avenue. Not just women, men as well, but there are women who work hard in the church of Jesus Christ. And then also in verse 13, the mother of Rufus, who has been a mother to me too, which I don't take, as sometimes happens in families with older siblings. They can kind of mother the younger siblings. It's kind of a negative thing. I don't think Paul's meaning it that way. This is a positive thing. She's been like a mother to me, caring for me, encouraging me, nurturing me. Thirdly, and finally, I want us to notice that the naming of specific people and something about them signals genuine warmth, love, and affection that Paul has for these people. So although for us, the list might be boring and dull and random, for Paul, the list is very personal. People he knows himself or he has heard about, and he's showing appreciation, recognition, acknowledgement, but also affection for these people. Now, some people might say, well, isn't he just trying to sort of butter them up? You know, isn't he just doing this for ulterior motives? Like, he wants to flatter them so that if he ever shows up in the city of Rome, those people will say, oh, Paul, he said all these nice things about us. Let's receive him. Let's welcome him. Let's be nice to him. And that's possible. It's possible that he's flattering the people. But I, as I read the passage, I don't see that, because 12 times he says of these people, they are in the Lord. They are in Christ. So Paul is in Christ. That's one of the main ways he talks about being a Christian believer. You're in Christ. The people are in Christ. And because of that, all of them have heard and received the good news that they are loved and accepted by God through Jesus Christ. They have received the ultimate welcome, the ultimate love, the ultimate approval. So they don't need, in the bottom of their hearts, Paul to flatter them or recognize them or thank them or acknowledge them, because through the good news of Jesus, they've already received it from God. So because they're all in Christ, this community and Paul himself, when Paul is naming names and saying, well, this is what this person has done, they don't have to be envious of each other. They don't have to be flattering each other. They don't have to be, oh, say something about me, say something about me. That's not the dynamic at work here. People who are in Christ are freed to name people and say specific things about people because neither the giver of the recognition nor the receiver is looking at that for my ultimate approval. Because I already have that through Jesus in the eyes and the presence of God. These are all people bonded together through Christ, doing ministry for Christ. And as one commentator said, whatever else we may learn or experience about these verses, don't miss this most obvious experience, the preciousness of Christians in the hearts of Christians. That whether Paul knows all of these people directly or indirectly, he loves them. He's desirous for them. He has affection for them, and so he can name them and say something about them, recognize them, acknowledge them, thank them in some ways, but all of it because they are in Christ. This past week, I watched a very short TED Talk. I like short talks. So this is 3 minutes. Dr. Laura Trice, who was speaking about the importance of specific thanks and recognition. And her main point, which for me was counterintuitive, but she said, we need someone to acknowledge us, recognize us, thank us. I think that's true. I think we're wired and created not just wanting, but needing recognition. I would suggest not in a, please say something, but because of what God has done, what God is doing in my life, as you recognize me, you're recognizing him. But I would, and I'm a doctor, but I would say Dr. Laura Trice, but Dr. Laura, very interesting. I would add to that, not just do we need to receive recognition, but we need to give recognition. That we are people who are created for both of these dynamics, to love and to be loved, to bless and to be blessed, to recognize, encourage, and thank, and to be recognized, encouraged, and thanked. And this morning, I want to encourage us to do that very specifically. So, for example, we can thank God and just say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. Or we can say, thank you, God, for your blessings through Jesus. Or thank you for your blessing yesterday morning, oh God, that got me through yesterday morning because it was tough. Or thank you, God, for the blessings of comforts, or the blessings of guidance, or the blessings of forgiveness or encouragement, very specifically. We could say, thank you, God, for the creation. Or we could say, thank you, God, for the glorious days of summer, full of light and heat. Or thank you, God, for that particular mountain. Out there somewhere. Thank you for that particular mountain so glorious to look at or so awesome to climb. And for each other, taking a cue from Paul, not just greet Priscilla and Aquila. That's good, specific names, but greet Priscilla and Aquila who risked their lives for me.